It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome to Future of Flushing. I'm Vito Calisi, and that's Jonathan Barron over there. And, you know, not too many games to talk about right now. We're going to do a really quick one. As we promised you on our last episode, we're not going to do too much like chitter chatter these days.
Yeah, but I'm going to come right out the gate with some chitter chatter because I feel like you just forgot that we're not on camera anymore. You said, and there's Jonathan Barron. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm here, but no one can see me. They can just hear me. And no one can see you. They could just hear you. But yeah, no, there was one thing, chitter chatter, I wanted to. I'm just in a bad mood right now. You know, I just got home from UBS Arena and I'm just upset. You know, we don't need to get too deep into it, but just the kind of sporting event that really just, you know, grinds my gears for many reasons. Traffic getting out of there, forget it. Forget it. Mets fans are blessed.
And you got to take like a shuttle. You have to take a car to get to your car, right?
I walked because the shuttle wasn't even moving. So Mets fans are blessed with the egress system over at Citi Field. And Mets fans are also blessed with a number of really, really exciting prospects to keep an eye on. And some of those prospects were in action on, what was today, Tuesday? Yeah, today's Tuesday. The days of the week, by the way, don't even matter anymore.
Big shout out to Deadniel Nunez, who in his first major league appearance, two innings of one run ball, somebody that we brought up on this podcast the other day to say he could get called up to help the major league roster. And he did it. And if you would have been listening to this podcast, you would have known that.
Yeah. Nunez is a great story. He actually joined the Mets organization way back in 2017. That's when he made his pro debut. It was a long path for Nunez, who went a couple of years without pitching in pro ball in the States, but he finally reaches the major leagues on Tuesday, so congrats to him. And what enticed me when I talked about him on Sunday was the premium velocity that he brings, and it was on display in spring training, and it was on display again on Tuesday night down in Atlanta, topping out at 98 miles an hour. And, you know, you mentioned the one run allowed, but keep in mind there's context there, Vito. He allowed just two infield singles and a bloop hit, so some bad batted ball luck for Nunez, but he also struck out three, including blowing a fastball right by Austin Riley, one of the premier hitters in the game. So really, really excited to see that Nunez got called up when we got the notification earlier today, especially right after you and I talked about him on Future of Flushing on Sunday. And yeah, he is another live arm. And it's, you know, for me, when I saw the news, it was the kind of move that it made so much sense in a good way. Sometimes I feel like teams overthink things when you have a guy in the minors who is having success like Nunez has had, albeit in a small sample earlier this year, but was pitching well, dominating opposing hitters, topping out at 98, devastating breaking ball. Let's see what the dude can do in the show, right? And of course, the Mets playing a ton of games and not a lot of days, 14 games in 15 days. That all goes back to the doubleheader and the rainouts they had. They made the right move, and it's going to pay off. Nunez is a very exciting live arm. Makes his debut on Tuesday night. Only 27 years old. I say only kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I say that because, as we say all the time right here on Future of Flushing, player development, never linear. So another example of that.
Yeah, man, and like John said, just really exciting to see him get called up. And just it was funny because the exact context he was mentioned in the other day with no, it's not like we get heads up on these things. It's not like we know anything.
No, no one told us anything.
But we brought it up and it happened to happen the exact way we wrote it. Now let's get into minor league baseball. The Syracuse Mets did not play today, but they did get to witness the total eclipse yesterday. So I am jealous of that.
All right. We'll do like 2 minutes on this. Okay. Because I know that we said not too much chatter. So I kind of honestly, I think I just woke my baby up. I just got a notification that her sound has been detected, and I think I'm right underneath, so I'm going to have to figure that out. That doesn't count towards the 2 minutes. In Syracuse, they had the totality. That's cool, because that's like where you got to the point where you could take the goggles off, whatever the glasses, and you could just look up, and like you could see the stars and the whole solar system or whatever. Yeah, here in New York, it wasn't like that in you know, New York City area. It wasn't like that at all. You know, it got a little darker. The shadows were longer. And, like, you could see it, but you didn't have that, like, planetarium feeling at all. So, I don't know. I don't want to get off my lawn and say it wasn't exciting, but I don't know. It wasn't like, oh my God, I need to spend 45 minutes outside looking up at the sun through these like really, 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 really dark tinted plastic things that hopefully are actually providing me the protection that they claim they are. By the way, thank you.
I gave John his glasses.
Thank you for that.
I would wish you would be a little more.
My mother-in-law was so pumped. She was like, oh, I want to watch the eclipse, but I don't have anything. And I was like, well, well, well.
Well, Vito came in handy because he ordered a pack of 12. Dude, I was handing him out at Citi Field, like Nicky Barnes, just like giving him out to the children. And by the children, I mean just my coworkers. Man. Like, I just literally was walking around just like handing them out to the Anthonys, the Moes, the Safias, the Kadims, the Amandas, the John Grady's, the Brian Smiths.
It's an all-star team.
Chris Chandler's. And then we all went up on the promenade and we watched from up there. And like, dude, I was into it. Now, I was confused. I thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be, when I saw 90%, I thought it was going to be a little bit more. But it was still cool to see. And I didn't know what it was going to look like when I put those shades on. But, you know, they say the future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Well, the future of Flush is looking great right now, John. And so is that segue, didn't it?
Pro transition right there. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just hop off the bat. That's not a phrase, and I'm not going to cut that out. Let's hop right off the bat. Talk about somebody we also mentioned the other day. Alex Ramirez is just off to a monstrous start. In the Rumble Ponies versus Erie Seawolves game where they lost 2-0, Alex Ramirez still had a great game. Tripled, another extra base hit for him. Right now he's 6-for-15 with a double, triple, and a home run to start the season. So he's, just like we said the other day, this is the Alex Ramirez we've seen 2 years ago to start the year. And it's just really sick to see him just coming back to form right now.
Yeah, awesome to see that. Just picture the emoji, the graph with the arrows pointing straight up. That is Alex Ramirez to a T. It was also a big night for the Rumble Ponies because Blade Tidwell made his season debut coming off of his strong first full season of pro ball last year. And Blade, he kind of shoved on Tuesday night. 5 2/3 innings, allowed just one run. That was unearned. Struck out 5, really didn't allow much hard contact. So a great debut for Blade on Tuesday. And on Wednesday night, it'll be Tyler Stewart going for the Rumble Ponies. So some of that talent we talked often about last year up at AAA, Christian Scott, Mike Vassell, Dom Hamill. You have Stewart, you have Tidwell with Binghamton. And that's not a talent thing. They're just, like we said on Sunday, there aren't enough spots to go around. So excited to see what Wednesday has in store for Mr. Tyler Stewart as he gets things rolling. The Brooklyn Cyclones also played. They played at home against the Asheville Tourists. And the big story here, well, there are a couple big stories, actually, Vito. I don't want to isolate just one.
Did you see them greeting the fans? The Cyclones were standing at the gates greeting the fans as they walked in for the home opener.
I didn't, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. They had some nice weather, actually, today. So that's also
cool. City bikes home because from the field. April, it was beautiful out.
Yeah, April right off the ocean could be not great, not ideal. But yeah, they had a nice day for the home opener, so that was awesome. And the Cyclones won. They won 3-0. And it was a big day in the organization. That's because Brandon Sproat made his pro ball debut. Of course, you know the story. Drafted by the Mets in 2022. Decided to go back to University of Florida. The Mets took him again as a senior. Sproat signed. Did not pitch pro ball last year. He was shut down. Pitched in the spring breakout game, dominated, went a little viral for his dominance. And on Tuesday, he finally made his pro ball debut. And it was a debut with some ups and downs. The line was this. He struck out 5 of the 13 batters he faced. That's good. He also walked 5 guys. So whether it's nerves or whatever might contribute to that, an up and down start, but still the great stuff was on display, getting plenty of swings and misses. He threw 63 pitches. So kind of getting the feet wet with Sproat against Asheville, but still really exciting to officially have him in the fold. And now if you go to his baseball reference page, there is some pro ball statistics there for Brandon Sproat.
And we do have an interview with Brandon Sproat that we're ready to release at some point. That might come out next week, maybe come out sooner or later, who knows. But tomorrow we'll be releasing our Calvin Ziegler interview. We'll talk a little bit more of that at the end of today's episode. But let's talk about Ryan Clifford, who hit his first home run of the season against his former organization, the Asheville Tourists. It's a high fastball he hit over the wall to left center field. That's just, you know, just some nice corn-fed power.
Yeah, I saw the video of the home run, and I was trying to think to myself, who does this remind me of? And I've heard the name Michael Conforto mentioned when people talk about Ryan Clifford. Now, I don't think that they're a perfect comparison. I think Clifford's a little bit bigger. Probably doesn't project to be an outfielder. I mean, not to say he can't play the outfield, but he just is he's a big dude. When you see him in person, he's a massive human.
He is.
But the opposite field stroke, taking that high fastball and just going with it from where it came from and depositing it over the high wall in left center field, not many lefties do that. And he had a home run last year into the sandbox at Maimonides Park, which, if you're not familiar, it's kind of out in right center field. It's a place where not many lefties go. It's a poke. And, you know, talking to some people, you hear a lot of people say Ryan Clifford hits balls that we haven't seen anyone hit in Brooklyn since Michael Conforto. And that was when Brooklyn was just rookie ball, half season. Talent wasn't nearly as good. Now it's high A. It's the level before double A. So a really impressive shot. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Just Twitter search the name Ryan Clifford and you'll see it. But a nice sign after a bit of a slow start for Clifford. He just demolishes a ball the other way, and that's what he does. He just has that incredible power that you can't teach. So love to see that. Want to follow up on the pitching side of things real quick. Jordani Ventura, he came in relief for Brandon Sproat, and he was great. 5 strikeouts over 3 1/3, scoreless. And Ventura came to Brooklyn last year late in the season. He was great, so he continues to thrive at the high A level. We mentioned Tyler Stewart goes for the Rumble Ponies on Wednesday. There's going to be another noteworthy start, and that's Nolan McClain getting the start for the Cyclones on Wednesday, if you're not familiar with the name. That's the two-way phenom. I'm pretty sure I got an email today about, we get those MLB.com emails, and it was, do the Mets have the next unicorn? And it was all about Nolan McClain, who can hit it 100-plus and can throw it right around 100-plus. So Mets fans should definitely take a close look, keep an eye on what happens on Coney Island Wednesday with Nolan McClain making his Cyclones debut.
And you can go listen to our interview with Nolan McClain we recorded back in September when we went to PSL. That's on our stream right here, and it's on the Mets YouTube. But let's wrap this episode up. Go talk about the St. Lucie Mets, who took on the Jupiter Hammerheads. And another guy that we had on this podcast, Colin Houck, had a hit, 2 walks, and 2 RBI. Just a great start for the prep to pro Colin Houck, first full pro season. Really exciting stuff. Jesus Baez had 2 hits after a lot of bad batted ball luck over the weekend. And our old buddy, man, it's crazy, John, like every single name on here. Last year when we started this podcast, we hadn't talked to most people. This year, every name we talk about, I feel like I'm talking about an old friend. Ronald Hernandez walked 3 times.
Yeah, Ronald Hernandez has been everything and more than advertised since coming over to the Mets. Last year when he and Marco Vargas came over, the first thing we said was the on-base percentages and the walk rates being elite. And Ronald Hernandez has been that, not to mention one of the nicest guys in the organization. Nice. He is an awesome dude, so easy to root for, so easy to get along with. And he has a knack for getting on base. He can catch, he can play first. You love the versatility. Same with Marco Vargas, smooth glove, great bat. You saw it a little bit in the spring breakout game. So it looks like the Mets did pretty well in that David Robertson deal. Those are 2 guys that we're really, really excited about, and they continue to prove it. And I put here in the notes, Vito, I don't know if you saw, but you look at the St. Lucie lineup right now. If you go on, there's a website you guys can go on if you want to track what's going on. Of course, listen to Vito and myself each and every night. But if you go on MLB.com/prospects, it takes you to the homepage. Then up top, you can click stats. And then you could find a team. You click on the Mets. It takes you to a page where the box score for the entire organization lives. And they have players that are top 30 prospects highlighted in blue. You scroll down to the St. Lucie Mets. The 2 through 5 hitters in the St. Lucie Met lineup are all blue line guys. We're talking Colin Houck. We're talking Jesus Baez. That's 2-3 in the lineup. We're talking Ronald Hernandez, who hit cleanup. And we're talking Nick Morabito, who hit 5th for the St. Lucie Mets on Tuesday night. So it was a bit of a rough season last year for St. Lucie. There's no doubt about that. But this St. Lucie Mets team this year has a big injection of talent. You talked about Colin Houck. Love that the Mets are challenging him, the 19-year-old, in his first full year of pro ball. League average age in the Florida State League, it's a little bit over 21 years old. So Colin Houck, pretty much 2 years younger than the average age of the league, and he's been great so far. You love to see that. But this is an exciting young team that the St. Lucie Mets have. Of course, they fall 9-5 to Jupiter, but there's a lot to love. We talked about Jesus Baez on Sunday hitting missiles all over the field. He went just 1-for-5 in that game, but as you said, Vito, the batted ball luck starting to even out. So there was a lot to love across the system. And hey, that's why we love talking about and sharing it with everybody at home listening in the morning or the afternoon or at night or whenever people choose to listen.
And after you listen to this episode on the same stream right here, you're going to see our interview with Calvin Ziegler. We're going to separate it so we can keep the organization of the flash updates and our interviews, because we're still going to release our flash updates Monday through Thursday, but we're also going to release the interviews on Wednesdays like we've been doing for the entire offseason. But want to keep those things isolated, keep them separated so it's easy for you to find them. So right after you listen to this, you could go click our interview with Calvin Ziegler. Really fun, about 10, 15-minute interview with Calvin where we talk about everything from playing A or Nay, which we played with Jonah Tong, to what he worked on at the pitching lab in PSL this year. So just really fun stuff. We have a lot more coming, you guys. And, I mean, it's just fun to be back talking about minor league baseball every night.
It is. No, I mean, this is a great time of year. Look, last year at this time, we weren't going. So we have a full season of a lot of great stuff marathon to cover. This Mets system continues to grow. It continues to get recognition around the game. And you continue to hear from Mr. Steve Cohen himself talk about how important it is for him to build this thing from the ground up. And that's exactly what the Mets are doing. And when you listen to this show, you hear all about it. You become the smartest fan in your section. You're not surprised. You're ready. You know what's coming. You know about the Daniel Nunez's of the world. You know about Ronald Hernandez. You know about Ryland Thomas and his incredible defense in the outfield. You know about all of these guys, and that's why we do this. So also, Vito, we're going to throw this out there. We have an interview that we're recording tomorrow with Mets manager Carlos Mendoza over on Meet at the Apple.
So recording and releasing.
And right, yes. So we're not going to save it for the next day. We're going to put it out. We're going to talk to Carlos around 4 o'clock in the afternoon as the Mets have split the first two in Atlanta, but a valiant effort on Tuesday night. Down 6-0. They come back. They score 5. So you'll have to see that. So we'll hear from the Mets manager, and you guys will hear. We'll speak to the Mets manager, and you guys will hear from the Mets manager as well, as the system continues to provide the big league Mets with talent, something that we can expect to see all season long.
So you can follow me on Twitter at Vito F. Calisi. You can follow John at JMB9191. We'll see you here tomorrow night, and go follow Meet at the Apple, also on the Mets YouTube and also on its own stream. And John, tell them where we'll see him.
In the future.